Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
How you guys doing? Good. You guys are really doing good. Not just saying that. I was pretending. All right, good. I'm glad. So tonight I'm going to talk to you guys about talking about God. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. So a lot of times when I prepare a message, I do it a certain way, kind of different every time. But I have a method, kind of, but I don't always stick to it. I try to listen to God. And last night, as I went to bed, I literally thought, I have no idea what I'm talking about tomorrow, which isn't always the case. That's actually pretty rare. So I went to bed last night, and I woke up with a scripture that I'm going to share here in a moment on my mind. And so I figured that it was that this message was really sculpted and put together for you. And yeah, it's a good thing, right? So it's funny. I was looking at these slides before during announcement time. I think announcement time is like the advertisement section of podcasts. You want to fast forward it, right? Sometimes has nothing to do with me, right? Maybe one does or something. But anyway, I was watching these slides and I saw 2021. It's crazy that it's 2021. I was thinking about all those movies in the 80s that predicted the future, like Back to the Future, I think, is one. Like, all these movies that they had future dates. I feel like we've passed all those dates. Like, we are in the future. We literally are in the future right now. And, man, the way things are going, I don't know how many more years we got. We 3, 4, who knows, right? Maybe 40. I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen, right? There's these scientists who say the world is going to end because of climate change. Then there are other people saying that Jesus is coming back next year, and they know the exact date. I don't know that. I didn't get that memo, but that's cool, you know? Maybe he is. Maybe they're right. I have no idea. That's what's beautiful is we just don't know, right? We don't know exactly what God's doing, but we do know the seasons, and we do know that it's time more than ever to be focused, right? It's time to be focused. How many of you guys, and this is the only sermon you need tonight, but how many of you guys would be honest, maybe you're online, maybe you're watching this from home, you'd be honest and say, I need to stop playing games, right? I need to get serious, and I need to really focus on the things that God has called me to focus on. You know what those things are. God doesn't, it's not like we're going to get to heaven one day and God's going to say, hey, I'm so sorry I forgot to tell you how to live your life. My bad, I must have forgot. That's not going to happen. What is going to happen is we're going to get there and he's going to say, you remember that time that I put this on your heart? Yeah. You remember that time I kept putting it on your heart? Yeah. You know how I kept putting it on your heart? Because I had these blessings for you that were right around the bend. These blessings, like, right around the corner. And I just wanted you to find those blessings. See, when God wants us to obey him, there's a reason for it. He's not just this father figure who's mean and wants to just control us, right? God is for us, he loves us, and he wants what's best for us. Before I pray, I'm going to share with you guys something real quick. I was thinking about when I was younger. I've been kind of reminiscing a little bit lately. I've been driving a lot around. I've had a lot of business stuff on the east side, and I grew up on the east side, and so maybe I'm just thinking of my childhood and hanging out up there up by Highland High School. And I was thinking about a lot of conversations that I had when I was college age with my friends and high school age with my friends. And I was kind of an odd duck back then, believe it or not. I mean, I'm completely normal now, but, you know, I was kind of a strange kid. And we would have strange conversations, right? One of the questions that we would always ask ourselves, like, is the red that I see the same red that you see? These are mind-blow questions, right? I'd have other questions like, do aliens exist? And now I don't feel so crazy having those conversations, but because apparently they do. But do aliens exist? And if so, do they have their own Jesus on their own planet? Like, do they have their own story and their own rules, right? Like I had all these crazy thoughts, these crazy ideas. And they were fun. It was fun just going down these rabbit holes. How many of you guys like to talk conspiracies, right? You like to talk about things that nobody wants to admit it. I get it. I understand. I get it. But we like to tell stories and we like to have fun, right? Like on Friday nights when you're with your friends, it's fun to have conversations. You guys are like, where are you going with this? All right, I'm going to get there. What about political conversations? What about political conversations? Would we be honest? And just, I want you to think about this, okay? This is just for you to think about. Would we be honest that sometimes when we're having political conversations, it is just like these other conversations, it's for fun. It's for entertainment value, right? Sometimes it's productive. Sometimes it is, honestly. Some of you guys are in politics, and some of you guys have good discussions based on who you're going to vote for and what you're going to get involved in, and those are productive, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the same old, just griping and complaining and talking. And we like to complain, we like to talk, we like to think about things. Sometimes we like to just hear our own voices sometimes because it's entertaining. It is, if we're honest. Right? How many of us, I used to have a Bible study, and I didn't do a Bible study for a long time. I just started one up again with the Mighty Men thing. But I've always been kind of anti those things because I know that they can go the wrong direction. Now I'm older to where I can kind of control it a little bit more. I'm kind of like in a leadership role, so it's good. But a lot of times these Bible studies go in weird directions where it's like you start talking about the Bible, then all of a sudden you're talking about who knows what, right? And you're just having these entertaining conversations. And what I want to talk to you guys about tonight is first of all, I want to say it's okay to have conversations that are for our entertainment. Perfectly fine. It's fun. It's great. Friday night, sitting around, having dinner, you're at the water cooler at work, whatever. It's fun to have entertaining conversations. What isn't good is when we confuse entertainment with productivity, where we think we're being productive. We think that we're doing something good, but really we're just consuming the news and sharing it again, and we're saying, hey, this is what I know, or whatever it is, and it's more entertainment-based. Now, I'm starting that off tonight because of the verse that I want to share with you guys in a moment. But first, I'm going to pray and just ask God this. Lord, we just come to you right now, and I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord. This is kind of a difficult topic for me. I don't know why, but it is. It's a new thing for me to talk about, and so I just pray, Lord, that you would give me the right words. I pray that you would give me the right spirit. And more than anything, I pray that you would move in every single person that's hearing this in their heart and move and speak to them, Lord, and show them exactly what you want to show them. And I pray, Lord, that we as a church would get closer to you together and therefore get closer to each other as well. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, we're talking about God. And I have been thinking about being much more intentional when I talk about God. Reverence is good, right? It's good to be reverent when we talk about God. It's good to understand who you're talking about. It's not good to just flippantly talk about God. It's not good to talk about God and not really, fully understand what we're saying. Like, those aren't good things. And so it's important for us to be focused, I think. I think it's important for us to have the right intentions when we talk about God, and especially with unbelievers, right? So there's two types of conversations that we might have. Well, we might have conversations with an unbeliever about God, and we might have conversations with believers, right? And they'll probably be different. And I was asking myself if I should be a different person when I talk to an unbeliever versus a believer. And I don't think I should. This is my opinion. I think that I should always just be myself. I think I should be authentically me when I talk to people about God. However, I do need to understand that there's a difference between the person who doesn't believe and the person who does. And I need to just understand that there are certain things that I don't need to push on people unless they want it. You just have to use common sense, right? You have to use, and I'm not the best conversationalist, to be honest with you guys. I'm going to be completely honest. It is 1,000 times easier for me to stand up here and just talk to you guys than it is for me to have a one-on-one conversation. That's why I run off the stage afterwards every time. So I'm scared. I'm afraid to have a conversation. I have this like social anxiety. But I don't even know where I was going with that. But I'm just saying that it's important for us to be authentic. But it's also important for us to be intentional about how we talk to unbelievers versus believers. And sometimes when we talk to unbelievers or people that are struggling to believe, we want to push them a little bit too hard, right? We want to push them because we want them to get frustrated and fight back, and we want them to think these things through. But sometimes we can push too far, right? And we can push people right out of church. Those of us that are believers, we can be a little more harsh with each other, right? A little bit, because we're brothers and sisters. We can get in each other's faces a little bit. And honestly, I wish we would. I wish that there would be a couple more fist fights out in the parking lot after church. You know, as long as they end up well at the end and there's a hug and a change of behavior, you know, why not, right? Why not have a little bit of conflict resolution, right? I like it. I like that idea of coming to a conclusion based on getting a little bit bloody with each other, right? Not physically, but you know what I mean? Like, we just need to tell each other what's up. I mean, isn't it a loving thing to tell someone the truth, right? Isn't it? So the scripture that we're starting off with tonight is 1 Timothy 1. Now, if you're always rude and blunt, that's different, right? I mean, if people run away when you walk into the room, you might need to check how you're talking to people. I don't even know why I'm flipping my Bible open, but 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, I'm going to use the technology here. As I urged you, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, and this is the scripture that I woke up with on my mind. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons, and I'm sure Paul had these certain persons in mind, not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And so it says certain persons by swerving from these have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they're saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So go back to verse 4 real quick, guys. Can you guys do that? Go back to verse 4. Verse 4, I don't know how you go backwards, but is there a back button? I don't know. All right, so anyway, we'll look at that in a second. So I should have opened my Bible. I got it right here. So verse 4 says, not to devote yourselves to myths and endless genealogies. Now, genealogies would be like a proof, right? Like a scientific proof of certain peoples. And they were really into genealogies. We're not necessarily into genealogies, but we are into science and proving things sometimes. We get caught up in that, right? But myths, like we're into these ideas and thoughts and what ifs, right? And the what ifs are fun, but in church and in productive situations, whether we're having a Bible study, we're having a prayer session or whatever, we want to make sure that our focus on verse 4, it says, on the stewardship from God that is by faith. God has given us something to be responsible with. More importantly, God has given us relationships to be responsible with. And in those relationships, it's very important for us to communicate the right things. And how many of you guys know that part of communication is what comes out of your mouth, right? But a huge part of communication is what you do. If you say one thing and you don't act in accordance with what you're saying, you don't follow up with what you're saying, that could be more damaging. You can say all the good things in the world, but if you don't act upon those things and you're not real with those things and you let people down, then that can actually go against you and it actually go against the kingdom of God. And that's serious stuff. I mean, how we treat each other in the church is so important. I always think in terms of evangelism and how evangelism connects with personal relationships in the church. For example, if somebody didn't know God and they came to church or listened to church online, and then they ended up finding out somebody else came to the church, and then they found out somebody else came, and they found out those two people hated each other and they were fighting all the time, like what kind of a witness is that? That's not a good witness. Right? And I know we're not all best friends in here. I get it. Some of you guys, I've joked about the fact that, you know, some of you guys can be in this sanctuary because it's so big and still have a restraining order against each other, right? So the restraining order sections, by the way, are the tables. So if you guys, just so you know, it's funny until it's not, until it's true. But I mean, we don't always have to give each other high fives. We don't always have to agree, but there needs to be a deeper support that we give each other, because that's part of our witness. That's part of our communication of who God is to us. When we have little squabbles and little things, we need to fix those things. We need to work them out. And thank God I see some people doing that in the church. I see some people working hard to figure things out because the church is more important than whatever issue that they're going through. And so so tonight, in talking about that, I'm going to look again at the same verse, at verse 7 again. It says, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding what they're saying. Verse 5 again. The aim of our charge is love. The aim is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So basically, authentic love. That's what we're after. We are after authentic love. That's what we're after. Not what makes us feel good or what is entertaining or what is fun, but authentic love. Now, moving forward, let me talk about why some of us have a hard time talking about God, okay? Besides the social side of it, I know some of us, like myself, I'm just more introverted, but it doesn't mean I can't talk to people. You know, I've learned to fight that, and I've learned to be people don't believe that I'm an introvert because I'm up here talking, but I don't know, God has graced me out with this, but I am. So if some of you guys are introverted, I feel you, and I hate that pressure when you come to church and somebody says, you need to go talk to three friends about God, and you better write them down right now and go do it. And I'm like, I don't know, you know? I'm much more like, if it happens organically, right, let's let it happen. And I'll pray for people, and then God will actually give me the opportunity, and then it's game on, right? But one of the things that's so important for us, and one of the issues that I think that we have, is that we all have a slightly different perspective of God. Now, let me paint this picture for you guys so that you understand what I'm talking about, okay? Obviously, we all know who God is. We have the same Bible. We go to the same church. We sing the same songs. So it would be easy for us to assume that everyone in here thinks the same way about God, right? But that's not really the case. There are lots of different influences in our life that affect our perspective of who God is, right? One of those influences is so obvious, but it's our upbringing, right? Our upbringing definitely affects how we see God. Some of you guys were raised Catholic. Some of you guys were raised in a gnarly Pentecostal church. Some of you guys were raised in a Baptist church. Some of you guys were raised in another religion. Some of you were not raised in church at all. All those different aspects have something to do with your perspective of God now. I put in parentheses of upbringing that your father, your earthly father, also has an impact on how you see God. Because as you grow up as a child, if you don't have a father, that impacts you. If you have a father that wasn't a good father, that impacts you. And if you have a good father, that impacts you. And so they in a good way, right? And so some of us, I'm sure we could all complain about our dads and sit here for hours. And if I did, you guys would probably enjoy it. You guys would probably enjoy it, let's be honest, right? But I'm not going to do that. But I just know, talking to you guys and talking to the youth, I used to do youth, like parents, mothers and fathers really have a huge influence on how we see God, because really that's, for a lot of us, that's how we learn about God. And then in the Bible, which we're going to talk about in a second, you know, God is known as our Heavenly Father. And so just that correlation that he's our Heavenly Father, we automatically insert our earthly father's image into our minds, I think. And for some of you guys, that's really hard. And I understand that. But it's just important to know this. It's important to understand this. But remember, too, at the same time, God is the healer. And God can, if you've had a bad upbringing, or if you've had, if there's been abuse or anything else has happened in your life, that doesn't mean that you won't ever have a good perspective of God. It just means that you have to, you just have to understand what God needs to work on in your life and where he needs to heal you, okay? Another influence is church, right? Whatever church you go to. Maybe you've been to 50 churches. Maybe you're a church hopper. Maybe you don't even have, you say, hey, I go to church when I feel like it, you know? Or maybe you are part of a church that is difficult to be a part of, you know, but you feel like God has led you to be there. I know that on Wednesday nights, there are people from different churches that come here, and that's okay. That's great. We welcome you guys in. But your church definitely affects your perspective of God, okay? Personal relationships, obviously. What we consume on a daily basis, the music, the movies, the books, the podcasts, the YouTube videos, all these things, they have an impact on our perspective of God, believe it or not. Our attitudes have a huge impact on our perspective, right? Attitude is everything. It really is. If you're a down and out person, you're going to believe that God is the one that's allowing all these bad things to happen to you. If you're always thinking negatively, if you're an Eeyore, right? Then it's because you think that God is allowing these things to happen to you. Spiritual leaders, right? Pastors, people that you don't even know that are online that have fallen, or maybe had some issues and you just didn't see it coming. Those things, they affect our perspective of God. Books, Bible translations, all these things affect our perspective of God. And so it's important for us to understand, right, that we all have a different, slightly different perspective of God. So you got to look around in here and you see the different people in here. We all have a different view. So if we all have a different perspective of God, then sometimes when we talk to somebody about God, we're going to click and sometimes we're not. Okay? It's important to understand that, because sometimes somebody else's perspective is a little bit too far for you to really fully understand. And maybe God can still move in that and work in that. And you guys can be friends and you guys can be, you guys can high five each other on the way out of church. Maybe you'll get in a fist fight on the way to church. I don't know, but you probably won't fully connect with those people. You'll probably connect with the people that their perspective is a little bit closer to you. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to put God in a box, because he can bring all kinds of people into relationships. But my point is I don't want you to get frustrated when you feel like you don't click with somebody in church. I don't want you to get frustrated, because you need to understand that their perspective is different. Their upbringing was probably different. Things in their life were probably different than yours, right? And so that perspective issue is also, we also need to think in terms of your own perspective, and you need to realize that there may be, probably are, flaws in your own perspective, right? We have to be humble enough to admit that our perspective isn't perfect. And so if we can understand that my perspective isn't perfect, it's a work in progress, I'm on a journey here, and understand that other people's perspective isn't perfect, they're on a journey here, then when we do clash, when we do have a hard time talking to each other, that we can just roll past that. We can pray for them, high five them, be friends, whatever, be acquaintances, that's fine. But by no means does that mean that we should attack that person. By no means does that mean we should go after that person. By no means does that mean we should talk about that person. God forbid that the church goes around bad-mouthing each other. If we do that, we are hurting the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have a problem with somebody, you go to that person. You go to that person and you tell them. You say, well, that's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. Yes. 100%, but that's what it means to be a part of the church. How many of you guys have earthly brothers and sisters? Like, you have siblings. Are they perfect? Not as perfect as you, right? Right? That's the way it goes. But the thing is, it's the same way in the church. Our spiritual brothers and sisters, they're not perfect, and neither are we, right? And so, moving on, we need to understand that these influences could have an effect on our lives. And the fix for it, okay, the fix for the flaws in our perspective is this. It's the Word, right? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. This is what's cool about having a Bible, and I think translation is important too. I really do. My dad, he preaches out of the New American Standard. He studies the New American Standard. It's the most accurate of translations that we know of. I use both. I use the New American Standard and the English Standard Version, which I don't think my dad loves this one, but I like it because it's a lot like the New American Standard, but it's a little bit easier to read. And so I think translations are important. So if we have the same translation as a church and we're reading the same book, then hopefully our perspectives will start to align a little bit more, right? And I think there's also a hierarchy in the Bible. There's the writings of Paul, which are great. They're awesome. There's the New Testament writings that are not the Gospels, which are great, which are awesome. But then there's those red letters, right? The things that Jesus actually said. And I feel like there's a hierarchy in the Bible. To me, those words are the most important words in the Bible because they're from our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we want to understand God better, we want to have a better perspective of God, we got to look to the source. Look at his own son. Look at Jesus Christ, right? Who is also God in the flesh, right? And so I want to look quickly at three different stories that involve Jesus in the Gospels. And there's a lot here. I'm not going to be able to get to all of it, but I'm going to, sometimes when we don't get to all of it, that's okay, because I hope that I hope it gets you excited and pumped to go read this stuff yourself, right? And so tonight we're going to start with one that I've taught plenty of times, but it's the Lord's Prayer. It's Matthew 6. 5 through 15, and I am reading out of the ESV tonight, English Standard Version. Verse 5 says, when you pray, this is Jesus teaching them how to pray, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father. Okay? He says, your Father, pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here's what I want you to see. 1, 2, 3 times at the beginning, Jesus tells them, this is about your Father. Prayer is about you and your Father, your heavenly Father, right? And then in verse 9, Jesus says, our Father. So he goes back to the brother-sister thing, right? There's your Father, our Father. If God is my Father and your Father, what does that make us? Siblings, right? And what's great is at the very end, he says that you need to forgive each other so I can forgive you. Just like a father would, right? A father doesn't want his kids quarreling. A father doesn't want his kids fighting. A father doesn't want his kids having issues with one another. He wants them to fix it. He wants them to move on, right? And if they do that, then he'll give them blessings again. Then he'll give them what they need. But until then, he's going to hold back. Right? And he's going to hold back if you guys have issues with one another. And so the first thing that I want you to see from the scripture is that God is our Father, and he's a good Father, okay? A good Father. Some of you, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but some of you guys have had bad earthly fathers, okay? And they have hurt you. And I understand that, but your heavenly Father understands that even more. So please, understand that there's a huge difference between what we were given on earth and what we were given from God, right? And God as a heavenly Father is a good Father. He's everything that your earthly father was not. He's going to give you everything that you need, and he wants you to rely on him and trust him and have faith. And it's hard to trust God sometimes when people have failed us, but we're not supposed to think in terms of God based on what people do, right? God's a different character. So in this scripture also, he says, our Father in heaven, right? Hallowed be your name. God is in heaven. He's on the throne. Isaiah 6 talks about this and kind of paints a picture of God on the throne and these angels flying around him and they're singing and just it's a beautiful setup. It's a beautiful thing. And God is in charge up there, fully in charge in heaven. And Jesus is saying, let's pray that God being fully in charge of in heaven, it would be the same as earth, that he would be fully in charge here, that he would be fully on the throne as well here, just like he is in heaven. And so a good father. So that's the first thing. The second scripture we're going to go to is John 8, 1 through 11, also in the ESV. This is the woman caught in adultery. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning. And before that, it says the disciples went one way, but Jesus went the other way. He's constantly doing something different. He's constantly going a different direction because he was constantly listening to the Father. He was constantly listening to the Lord. And so, the disciples are just being the disciples. They're young guys. They're like, all right, we're going to go over here because this, is what we do. And Jesus is like, nope, I'm going that way. So he goes to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders of the day, brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So, what do you say? This they said to test him, that he might have some charge to bring against, they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down, and he wrote with his finger on the ground. As they continued to ask him, he stood up, and he said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Once more he bent down, and he wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Now, my dad has taught this for years and years, and I really like his interpretation of this scripture. He assumes a little bit in the text, but I think that he could be very right. He thinks that what's going down here is that these religious leaders are trying to be high and mighty, right? And they bring this woman, they throw her at Jesus' feet, and they're testing him on the law. And so they say, you're supposed to stone this lady because we caught her in adultery. And so Jesus, instead of saying, no, that's not right, don't do it. Instead, Jesus pulls a fast one, and he gets on the ground and starts writing something in the dirt. Now, my dad has always said that he thinks that he was writing down their sins. I think that could be very true, because it does say that the older ones end up leaving first, because they have a little bit more wisdom, right? They're like, I see where this is going, I'm out, right? And the younger ones are like, still, like, what's he doing, right? And he's just writing down their sins, and then he's saying, whoever doesn't have sin, you go ahead and throw the stone. In other words, they were just as guilty as she was, right? And again, it doesn't even talk about who she was caught with, right? Who that person might have been there. Who knows? Who knows? The guy always gets off clean, right? That's the way it goes. It's kind of sad. It's kind of true in real life, right? But this is a situation where Jesus is using his wisdom and grace, right, to show that God is a God who forgives. So the first part, the first scripture is that God is a good father, right? And then the second part is that he forgives and he protects. God is a good father who forgives and protects. He's protecting this woman against these people who are trying to come against her, right? Now the third scripture is the Garden of Gethsemane, which is very close to the Mount of Olives, not too far away. This is Matthew 26, 36, different time. This is where Jesus is about to be arrested. And it says this in verse 36. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. This is what he prayed. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So Jesus is saying, I know it's about to come. I know that I need to take this cross upon myself, and I know that I need to walk on Calvary and let them take my life. I know that you're asking me to do this. But if there's another way, then please, God, please let it be. He's basically saying, I don't want to do this necessarily. If there's a better way, please let it be. And I think there's the physical pain aspect that he was probably dreading, but it was also the spiritual aspect of being taken down as a criminal. And it even says that that God turned his back on him at one point. And just that feeling that Jesus might have had, where his whole life God had never turned his back on him. But in the end, God had to do it for a moment, right? And who knows what else he had to deal with, right? It says, verse 40, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping again. And he said to Peter, you cannot watch me 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went and prayed. The same thing. My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. So Jesus is praying this same prayer. Let this cup pass. Let this cup pass. Let this cup pass. And then he's finding that his friends, his best friends in the whole world, have no clue what's going on. They're just sleeping. So Jesus is frustrated, and he's challenged at this point in life. So that's the part that I want to pull from this scripture is going back. It's Jesus, or God, is a good father, right, who forgives and protects, but also challenges us beyond what we think is possible. Now, that challenge was for Jesus, and thank God we don't have the same challenge as Jesus. But in Luke 9:23, it says this, if anyone would come after me, this is Jesus again speaking, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What that means, right, is that we all have challenges that God would give us. And that's a good thing. A good father challenges his children. And he gives us challenges that he knows will take us somewhere else. Take us to that next level. You want to go to that next level. Some people are like, I want to go to the next level. I'm ready. I'm ready to step up. I'm ready to do it. Okay, then step up. Then do it. Then go to the next level. It's going to be hard. It's going to get more difficult, but you can do it. You can do it. I love how it says, how Jesus said, take up your cross daily. It's a daily thing. Deny yourself daily. There are a lot of things that we want to do, but then there's what we're supposed to do. And I don't think it's that hard. I don't think it's like super, super hard. It's just sometimes a little uncomfortable to obey God. At first, right, you obey him, and then it ends up turning out better because he gives you the blessings that he wants to give you. I want to end with this thought. Pastor Tom is a good man. And as you guys know, he was Mr. California back in the day. Buff. When I first met Tom, he was a freak. I mean, a freak. And I was in high school, and I was like, I want to be a freak like him. And I was playing football, and so he trained me. He helped train me. And I actually hung out with Pastor Tom before my dad really hung out with him. We were out training, and I was really looking up to this guy. I was like, man. But one of the things that he taught me back then was a simple idea that had to do with weightlifting. He said, basically, there are push muscles and there are pull muscles, right? And, a bench press would be a push muscle, a pull-up would be a pull muscle, right? Very, very simple stuff. And there's different movements you can do that are push-pull. And so you want to work out both of those equally so that, you know, you don't turn into a weirdo freak or whatever. But I was thinking about this in a spiritual level. I was thinking about this in a relational level. How many of us are pushers and how many of us are pullers? Just think about it. Maybe it's different on the day, but every single day when we wake up, are we aiming to push people away? Or are we aiming to pull people in? What muscles are we exercising? And I want you to think about that. Really think about that. Is our aim, whether it's a non-believer, whether it's a believer, whether it's somebody that's frustrating, is our aim to pull them in or is our aim to push them away? Hopefully, because of the love of God in your heart, your aim is to pull them in. And so when you see somebody struggling, or you see somebody that you don't agree with, or you see somebody that you just don't really care for whatever reason, I want you to look at them as God's child, just like you are. And I want you to look at them as your brother and sister in the Lord. And I want you to ask God, this is the challenge, this is the part where, hey, you want to go to the next level? Here it is. Ask God how you can be a puller and not a pusher. How can you pull them in and not push them out, right? So that's what I want to leave you guys with. Let's pray this. Father, we thank you that you are the ultimate puller, God. You are the one who's constantly pulling us in. And Lord, I just pray that we would not fight that. I pray, Lord, that we would fully surrender to your love, God. We'd fully surrender to who you are. Lord, I pray, God, if anybody's here that needs to just make that final decision just to let go, to let the burdens go. Lord, it says in Matthew 11:28, your burdens are easy. Your load is light. God, it's not hard to follow you. In fact, the weight that we put on our own shoulders falls off as we follow you. It's a good trade. And so I pray, Lord, that if anybody's here that needs to make that decision, they would just make that decision. And if you want to do that, we have people that are praying up here in front. Come up and get prayer. Solidify that with one of these prayer warriors up here. Amen. I love you guys. I will see you guys. I don't know when. I don't even know what the speaking schedule is, but I'll see you guys when I see you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.